Arguing is certainly a possibility when it comes to conversation with others. In fact, there's no shortage of arguing on any given day, right? Whatever scope the situation we would consider, be it with one's family, one's friends, in the news, in the any public sort of forums or arenas, there's definitely a lot of arguing. And yet, it certainly has to be admitted that arguing, debating can be enormously satisfying, especially when we suppose ourselves able to win. Just like a fight, right, is probably more fun, usually, for the one that thinks him or herself able to win, then a fight can be very enjoyable. It can be very invigorating and so forth, right? To really put a smack down on a weaker opponent. And yet if I myself am getting smacked down, then it might not be so much fun. But the point is that certainly fighting can be fun in any sort of contest. And certainly verbal contests can be a lot of fun. I know I'm right, and I'm going to show you. But the fact of the matter remains that we can take ourselves as an example and ask ourselves, have I ever been convinced by somebody aggressively arguing with me and trying to put me down and say that my points are wrong? Maybe myself later on, I came to the conclusion that I was wrong, right, or my opinions have changed. But was I able to, would I have been able to in the moment concede that I was wrong, right? And change mind and change course precisely because the person is pressing me to so do? Certainly not impossible, and certainly amazing things are possible with an unusually high degree of character and truthfulness, such that could in principle permit a person even very aggressively arguing a given point and being out-argued of it by somebody that presents a greater case for truth. I was mistaken. I was really aggressively arguing that 2 plus 2 is 5, and you just showed me my error, so right away I changed course. It's possible, but it's not likely, and it's not common. And more often than not, such debates, such argumentation leads nowhere, right? And neither person is convinced of the other person's point of view, and instead, seemingly paradoxically, my views can be hardened by opposition. Maybe before I began to argue, I wasn't even so set on my point. But after the argument, now I'm set. And what would account for that? Well, maybe general self-will. For example, I'm under attack. I want to fortify. Right? Let's say I don't feel that my castle as a medieval prince or princess, I don't think that my castle is under much threat of attack. So, you know, I keep the moat or the bridge over the moat open and the doors open and we're all hanging out on the balcony, excuse me, or on the top of the fort, nothing too crazy. But then somebody attacks, or I think there's going to be an attack. Well, then fortifications begin. Let's pull that bridge up. Let's maybe thicken the walls if possible, get all our guards in place. So just so, if I'm not pressed, you know, I may casually hold to my convictions that I was taught or that I came to by myself. I just, yeah, this is what I believe, this is what I think. But if I'm attacked, right, my sense of self is under attack, I'm liable to kind of hunker down and to really dig into what I've been saying, dig my heels into the ground. So it makes sense. So anyhow, the question then could be worth examining as to whether or not there are alternatives to arguing as it concerns such intersubjective activity aimed at ultimately persuasion and changing minds. Meaning, if I really do suppose myself to be in possession of some or another truth concerning reality, and I wish to share what I suppose to be so with another person, what again could be an alternative to simply arguing or saying you're wrong and I'm right? So, here, we can try to specify an ideal, much as we may always fall short of it. An ideal probably would involve a good will concerning oneself and others. Meaning, ultimately, really, truly, at the bottom of my heart, ideally, practically, again, we may not get there, but ideally, what I want is our mutual good. Right? There's some such something as is the good of the human being. Right? We know, certainly, there's many things that are contrary to that. It is certainly possible to suffer tremendously in life and to be very miserable and to just be deep down in some or another pit, right? Burning in some or another fire. Awful stuff is certainly possible concerning the human experience, and not just physically, but psychologically. So, I want something other than that. I want the good for myself, right? And for you. So, let's assume, theoretically, I have that goodwill concerning the other person. That goodwill could be opposed by many factors. For example, in truth, right? Really, truly, I actually feel jealous of you, and I would rather you fail. I would rather put you down. Really, truly, I'm intimidated by you, and I want to puff myself up and blow you down. I simply want to be right, just like I would want to win a tug-of-war contest or an arm wrestling match, and you're in the way of me being right. Really, truly, I want affirmation and confirmation of my present position, and you disagreeing with me, it makes me uncomfortable. The fact that somebody else is claiming to have possession of truth that is other than my own, well, that's weird, right? It's like I'm the champ and somebody else says they're the champ. Well, then we have to duke it out. So maybe that's what I'm doing. And so many such impure, shall we say, motives can contradict the ideal or can be in place of the ideal of purity of motive, which would be simply what is truth? Then the assumption that truth and good are one and the same, ultimately. Right? My truth, or my good, excuse me, lies with the truth. For example, there's some truths concerning the human body, such as the need for oxygen and nutrition and hydration. And it's only when I attain to those truths that I can live. If I get fake, you know, oxygen, which is really carbon dioxide or carbon monoxide, goodness forbid. And if I get food, which is actually made out of rubber, you know, some of those for display, the plastic chicken, the plastic fruit, if that's what I'm fed. Right? If I get water, which is actually, on a screen, but not really water, well, then I'm not going to live if that's all that I have. I need something real. So, just so with ourselves at large, I need actual truth to be an individual, to be human, and to attain to my good. So, let's assume theoretically my motive is clean. I wish for reality only. And again, not just I want to triumph, I want to be better than you. I want reality because I understand it's my true good. And I suppose reality to be also your true good. Our true interest cannot contradict. Our apparent interest can certainly contradict. Because, for example, we have two stomachs, and there might be one chunk of food that we can't split. Therefore, it must go to either you or me. I win, you lose, you win, I lose. We have anywhere from, what would it be, 2 to 4 fists, right? Because some people don't have two arms and have one arm. Well, actually, it could then be 0. Anywhere from 0 to 4 fists, right? If neither of us have arms, for some reason, then, which can certainly happen, then there's 0 fists involved. Each of us have 2 arms. Then there's 4 fists involved, right? And these fists are different, and they can clash, right? We have 2 different chins, which can lead to 2 different knockouts. So we're alienated and intrinsically opposed to each other, at least theoretically, as it concerns our, say, physicalities and also certain other such more contingent interest. For example, I have one bank account, you might have another, unless we share it. But truly, right, deep down, we share the same true good. Right? Our good cannot contradict. Why that would be could be a separate conversation, but that seems to be a sufficiently supportable point. So, again, I want for truth, I want for my good, I want for your good. Now, what I need to do is I need to also recognize that in order to possibly lead you to a higher vantage point than the one that you now enjoy as it concerns reality and your grasp of truth, I have to make some sort of contact with the truth that you do have internalized, with the ideas that are yours. Obvious simple example, I'd say, in question is something as simple as teaching you, or not necessarily simple, but say, more concrete, arguably, as teaching you math. Let's say that I am an advanced math whiz, and you know zero math. Perhaps you're a toddler, right, or a first grader. You don't even know the multiplication table yet. So if I simply begin to teach you what I'm thinking of currently, the trigonometry, the advanced algebra, the this and the that, there's no shot that I'm going to teach you anything, because I haven't made contact with that which you know, and therefore there's no bridge between where you're at and where I'm at, and you can't cross that bridge. I mean, it's just jibber jabber. I have to take where you're at, and then I can help you take a step further. For example, let me teach you what a number is. A number is, a numeral, one. It's a discrimination of one thing from another. Let me teach you the multiplication table and take you step by step. I don't speak a given language, and I hire a tutor to teach me that language. If the tutor begins to speak his or her language, native language, right away, or the language that I don't know right away, then I can't learn the language. Maybe there's something to be said for immersion or something like this, but there has to be some point of contact with that which I do know. There's no entryway into a foreign language unless, say, by pointing, right? That could be the thing. You know, you point to the cup and you say, this is how you say cup in a different language. You point to the tree, this is how you say it. That could be the thing, because I already know what cups and trees are, hopefully. It can also be that the tutor speaks the language that I speak and can translate for me and say, okay, now we're going to learn how to say hello in the new language. There has to be some point of contact with where I'm at in order for me to conceivably learn the new language. So the same certainly appears to be so with anything whatsoever, right? With ideas, with perspectives, with theories of reality, anything at all. In order for me to conceivably benefit from it and to see things from a different point of view, first of all, there has to be a bridge built to where I'm at, to my own perspective, to what I take to be true, to what I believe, to what I understand about reality. And even if it's not perfect, or even if I deceive myself to quite an extent, and first of all, that bridge does have to be built. So my first job then, as somebody that is dealing with another and wishes to benefit him or her by the way of discussion, by the way of what could easily turn into an argument or into a debate, if I'm not careful, my first step is to try to understand by carefully listening and interacting with the individual, where he or she is intellectually, what it is that he or she understands about reality. Having so done, then I can think about how to create a path or a bridge to the next step. Ultimately, hopefully, that path, that bridge leading to, again, one's best conception of what is good for the human being. So we can try to analyze an example. Let's say that in question is a young person that is a young person and knows as much as might be, as much as a typical young person may be expected to know. Obviously, some know more, some know less about various things, but taking a typical, if there's such a thing, example. So I talk with a young person. Hi, how are you? What's your name? Blah, blah, this and that. Not blah, blah, blah. It's all important stuff, but just the small talk, right? And then I can ask some kind of question that will draw out some response from the young person as to what he or she takes to be true concerning something of substance. It could be something such as, it doesn't feel good to lose. Everybody understands that. If it's explained properly, you can take a person from an uncontacted tribe, right, that has zero, say, civilization and higher society and things like that, or accruements of higher accruments of society, and ask them, does it feel good or does it feel bad to lose? What does it mean to lose? Well, for example, you were going for that prey over there, and then your buddy got to it first. Does that feel good or bad? Probably feels bad. Maybe there's such a quote unquote participation mistake or whatnot. It's all one. I just conceive myself as the tribe, so then I wouldn't feel bad, maybe. So then some other example, let's say the other tribe's person gets to the prey first. Right? Let's say the other tribe's person kills, unfortunately, one of your guys or girls. Does that feel good or bad? Oh, that feels bad. All right, there we go. Right? That's a reality for you. Again, for the youth. Does it feel good or bad to lose? The youth should understand, right? I can lose a foot race. I can get a worse grade than my classmate. I can lose in a game, in a sport, in whatever it might be, online. I got less likes than the other person on my social media post. I understand this. This is a real concrete reality. To me, it is not verbal. It's not simply chit-chat that I don't know, the meaning of which I do not know, right? You immediately go in with some theory about reality or about ethics or whatnot. Now, this is something that the youth understands. Next, I think, okay, what would be the next step to connect this to something a little bit kind of more, say, advanced, right? Not extremely more advanced, a little bit more advanced, and that's moving in that direction of maturity, growth, and so forth. So we can say something, well, we see it feels bad to lose. But what does it mean to lose overall, right? To lose specifically means to lose, again, the foot race, to lose the game of checkers or cards or whatnot, or chess, right? The video game, you get that, right? Now, what about in general? General means overall. For example, in general, it's good to have food and water and sleep. What does it mean in general to lose? And then let the kid think, right? What does it mean? Well, maybe it's to not have money. Ah, okay, that's definitely a general way to lose. It seems correct to say, right? But is that the ultimate thing? Right? What about if you're on an island alone and you don't have money? Would a lack of money then constitute losing? Well, I guess not. So what's another way to lose? Well, I guess if you're homeless, okay, but some people seem happy even if they don't have a home. So maybe there's a different way to lose. And carefully we can lead the youth up to some sufficiently simple and yet all the same profound ideas, such as to lose at life in general would mean to, for example, be a bad person. Right, to be very selfish, to be very self-centered, to not care about others, something like this. Right? So that's a notch up from a conception of losing such that involves only video games and foot races and arm wrestling matches and so forth. And yet it's connected to that closely enough to where most should be able to understand exactly what is meant and to have a solid bridge built to that next step. And from there, a further argument can be made and a further argument as the youth matures and progresses. But the point would be that, first of all, we're taking where he or she is at and going from there. We're not simply coming in with our own speculations and theories, even if they're correct, right? Even if, you know, I've put a lot of thought into the question of, into some or another question, I can say something good about it. But if you won't understand it, if it's not connected to your life, to what you have concretely realized and experienced in your life, it's not going to help you. You won't be able to make any sense of it. So basically, in summary, and there could obviously be a lot more to be said along these lines, but probably a useful enough point has been put forth, which would be that argument is one thing to do. We can argue. And yet, because of our naturally enough, egoism and pride, we're unlikely to yield to an argument which tries to take us down, which tries to say that we're wrong, we're immoral, no matter how true it is, right? You go and debate with a scammer that he or she is doing the wrong thing. It might be obvious, even to the scammer, him or herself, that what they're doing is wrong. But good luck getting that confession. Again, everything's possible. It's not inconceivable logically. It's just very unlikely. Right? Again, we have our pride and we have to think about ourselves. I wouldn't want to concede to somebody that I did wrong, even if I know that I'm wrong. So a different approach would be, first of all, I have to will your good and I have to desire truth. Right? Not, again, simply superiority or triumphing or being right or getting confirmation and all that. Next, I have to desire your good. If I want you to fail, or I simply want to destroy you, or I simply am jealous of you and I want you to be worse than you are, I'm not going to convince you of anything, and I'm just going to harm at least myself in trying to deal with you. Right? So I have to will your good. As bad as you are, you might be the worst thing on the planet, so to speak, thing. You might be just a complete aberration, moral aberration. And yet, I can still will your good. It's just that it wouldn't be good as you conceive it. For example, I'm speaking with a serial robber, right? So already probably as the serial robber, somebody who robs all the time, I've reconceived my interest, my good, as being successful at robbing. I'm really crossing my fingers, hoping that, you know, I'm going to find an unlocked door or an open window or something like this. This is what I take to be good. But somebody that is not blinded as am I by self-interest can clearly see that's not really what my good is. On some level, it is a good and must be admitted vis-a-vis the objective of robbing. Yes, having gloves that cover the finger, fingerprints and all that, those are all goods relative to that objective. But the real good of the robber would be to stop being a robber. So speaking to then the robber, in willing their good, I wouldn't be willing that they continue to be a robber and be a successful robber. That would be willing their bad, were that to be possible, right? That would be wishing for their destruction and their downfall. So I can will the good of everybody. It's just that it wouldn't be good as they understand it, right? Say again, somebody's a vicious, genocidal tyrant. Should I will their good or should I will their bad? I should will their good, but it's just that their good would involve them ceasing to be a genocidal tyrant, to repenting and trying to right the wrongs best they can, and all that. It wouldn't involve continuing to be one and then thinking, what is good for me? Well, to stay in power and to have a more successful genocide, goodness forbid, all that. Right? So we get the point. I can will the good of all, myself included, no matter how bad I am. So I want the truth. I will your good. Next, I think about what conception of the good I have myself realized and seen firsthand. Then I try to link that up with where you are at. And I try to build a bridge from where you are at, what you understand, what you take to be true, what you believe. And then I try to level you up a little bit. Try to give you a little bump across that bridge, across that path, letting you understand it, letting you reason. And again, that can be done across the board by and large. You believe, I speak to you for 20 minutes and you tell me 50 conspiracy theories and the kookiest things that I've ever heard. Take one of those kooky things, identify something in there that is that can be construed as so, right? For example, somebody gives the most intricate conspiracy about how things work. So you say, well, it sounds like you're interested in truth, right? That's good. You're not okay with falling for a facade, with being tricked, with having wool over your eyes. You're interested in truth and you've put in a lot of research and time to try to get at the truth. So truth is a good thing. It's a value, right? Well, I guess it is. All right, so what about the truth concerning, let's say, humanity or moral health, that kind of thing, right? So we lead the person on from where they're at. We don't need to say, no, your conspiracy is stupid. You're an idiot. Everything you believe is false. Now let me enlighten you as to the truth. That's not going to work in nearly all cases. We take where the person's at, build that bridge, help them over the bridge best that we can, and hopefully they can return the favor, and that would be great. Thank you for listening.